I'm Amy Erica. I've been a member of the church here for about a little over 2 years. Somebody made a call, a pastor I knew was to challenge the congregation a few months ago. What would it take, he asked, for you to feel comfortable giving a sermon? So my response was awful. I can promise you, though, that this is an entirely alcohol-free sermon. No alcohol is here, only, I pray, Holy Spirit. Seriously, thank you guys, thank you all of you, and thank the Benedict Pastor at me for the generosity of inviting me to talk, and thank you especially for being open to voices. Ultimately, I have a hunch that this is based on real generosity, godly generosity, the generosity that comes from Jesus, the Savior. So, generosity. When I briefly asked our young lady today for getting confident to preach, she gave me a task. She told me to talk about generosity, my faith journey, and in particular today's gospel passage. As my Iowa-born grandmother would say, easy, easy, right? I feel like Paul would be talking directly to our church when he describes the church in Corinth in today's passage. Like us, the Corinthians are pretty nice people who mostly try to do the right thing. Paul tells the Corinthians, you do so well in so many things. You trust God, you're articulate, you're insightful, you're passionate, you love us. Like many of us, the Corinthians have enough money, many of the Corinthians have enough money that they could stand to get some of it away without going hungry. Like us, the Corinthians make big promises to share their resources generously. And like us, they need pride and reminders to be the generous people they said they wanted to be. Paul's almost a little nasty when he says, the best thing you can do right now is to finish what you started last year and not let those good intentions grow stale. Your heart's been in the right place all along. You have my faith to finish it. Now go do it. There are many things I love about this church. One of the very top ones is that it's institutionalized ways to help us be generous. I feel certain that the Corinthians knew that it was good and important to be generous even before they got all of their blood. Just like I knew sharing was the right thing to do before I ever walked in the doors of this church. But I'm fallible, sinful, and human. One might certainly say that I forget to be generous. The truth is that I'm lazy, selfish, risk-averse, and overly attached to the status quo which I have. But what I get from many other fallible human people who also believe it's important to be generous, we help each other be the people we want to say we want to be. Just like Paul, we call each other to give. We set up sign-up communications on the internet to coordinate our efforts. And I'm so proud of our church leaders who insist year after year that a large portion of the money we raise in this church is going to help others in the broader needs community and in the United States and in the world. Through the generosity of this church, our recent Catholic campaign has already funded a van to help older people get medical care. It's going to help them at home for their families and many other things. Individually, it's very easy for me to succumb to laziness, selfishness, risk aversion, and addiction to the status quo. On my own, it's really easy to think. I just don't get to deal with $10,000. We need to keep them in the bank, they're going to need the furniture, we might need it in 3 years. As a community, though, we help each other be generous when not just individually to speak. But let's take a step back. Why should we be generous? I guess most of us have a pretty clear idea of what generosity means. I got some stuff, you need some stuff, I give some of my stuff to you, you feel better, I feel better. God cheers. Yay, generosity! Paul wants the church in Corinth to be generous. That seems like a pretty big thing for religious and moral leaders to preach. There are a lot of complicated reasons to be generous. I asked my 6-year-old Oscar what he thought. Honestly, we need a Bible that is good to be generous. So I asked why. And her reply was a truth. Because it helps me friends. Honor Christ. We all like generous people. Being perceived as generous can help you get respect and admiration and, yes, friends. As a simple language, I can assure you there's a ton of work out there confirming that studies work better when people share their resources. Evolutionary psychologists also confirm that humans evolve so that sharing can be among self-interest of group members. One reason sharing makes sense evolutionarily is that if you're done today, people are more likely to share their resources with you tomorrow when you need it. The principle of reciprocity provides a kind of social interest. As Paul says, you're shoulder to shoulder with them all the way. Your surplus plus matches their deficit matches your surplus. In the end, you come out even. Of course, Paul wants their friends to be generous. Duh, it's good advice. Besides, to be a bit crass, the new Christian church has global ambitions and many resources, so pass it pleasantly. There are other rational arguments for generosity besides money politics. Most Western medical systems have fought in the past few hundred years with the basic premise that all human lives are equal value. If so, many people argue that it's logically necessarily required for people to share at least some of their material resources to prevent the worst kinds of poverty that affect human lives. Being generous then is just the right thing to do. But I think the Christian argument for generosity, Jesus has promised all of us, belongs to an entirely different realm of reasoning. As I began to work on this sermon, I kept telling the thoughts drift, and they spoke, and then I drift again, and then an unexpected memory from the Swiss quiet, the memory of falling asleep with my kids. I was surprised. This didn't really seem to be matching my image of generosity at all. Most of you know that I have two pretty awesome little boys who are 4 and 6 years old. Most of the night, I tell them that I have bedtime. There's a lot of selfishness and wrong, fighting and tears in each kid. One is mommy at this very moment, right now, for the other kid. Oscar has strong justice in the best of circumstances, but at night he struggles with the notion that his little brother gets to cuddle with mommy first because his little brother needs more sleep. But then the difference subsides. As I'm lying in bed, the kid is not complaining, to yawning and blinking, a wave of calm breaks over us. There's a moment when a child's body is tucked against mine, my hand on the child's tummy, that our breaths begin to synchronize in, out, in, out. And then the kid is asleep. And then sometimes my mommy knows about it too. Why did my subconscious, or maybe it was the Holy Spirit, but why did my subconscious offer up this sensory memory as an example of generosity? Why mess with my kids? Who's the benefactor and who's the beneficiary? Who's being generous to whom? Yes, I give love and home to my kids, and they give love and home to me. But that transactional description doesn't seem to catch the way we become almost the same creature at the moment of falling asleep. It also seems to miss the point that a lot of what's happening in those moments is outside of either of our control. Breath, circadian rhythms, heartbeats, the earth's rotation away from the sun, the miracle of sleep itself. I don't really know the word what God is, but I feel certain that in those moments, God is the one who gets credit for all the really cool stuff. So here's the weird thing about generosity. At our most generous, we can hardly forget about generosity. The notion that I got some stuff and you need some stuff, and I give my stuff to you, and how do we lose this meaning? Around the communion table, we feed each other and around life feeds us. And also our generosity, other unexpected dishes for the service. The novelist sitting alone at a computer, putting the words onto the computer screen, the page, that help us empathize with people we've never met. The unflinching reader who follows her words, imagining himself desperate and lonely. Empathy and its companion, love, seem to be at the core of Christian generosity. As Paul says, the heart regulates the hands. I grew up an intellectual kid in a fairly developed Episcopalian family. As a kid, I know myself, I struggled with the usual litany of religious questions that I think affect many of us. I couldn't bring myself to believe in the absolute moral status of the Bible, or that God would choose to have an exclusive relationship with other people rather than chosen people. I believe that with enough philosophy classes at 85, I would come around in a rational, intellectually defensible way, and I would fail miserably. So I just got from the church. And I stayed away for good long 15 plus years waiting for my revelation. And then about the time that I turned 36, it came of a sort, but not the kind of religion that God was waiting for. I just needed to go to church. In the past 3.5 years, I've just seen a lot of intellectual baggage that burdened me in my childhood faith. I've come to believe that we're all groping in the dark to destroy things that we can't see. And that I have no clue is my very best answer to many of the questions that put out of me at the age of 18. Allowing myself not to know has paradoxically strengthened my faith in a few things. That we're all God's creatures, that Jesus' life and death show us how to live like God for the creatures we are, and that the most important commandment and commandment, the only commandment that matters, is a single word, love. So I think be generous is just a way of translating the commandment of love into terms we can grasp. Even in my very best moments, I can't muster universal empathy or the kind of selflessness that would be needed to share my stuff the way I should. So I'm really happy I have this church to help me be generous in spite of myself. This week, every single one of us will have lots of opportunities to be generous. Let's try to remember to take the time to listen.